Just gotta poke the bear, huh?
Me and Ashtray got a fuck thing going on.
Oh yeah, right. We need to fuck each other and get out of our system.
Are like Bill Maher and fucking what's her face, Ann Coulter. Like you could just feel it,
right? But at the same time, we can't quit each other. Exactly.
Well, that isn't how I would describe the dynamic between myself.
Other oh man, I would take his RoboCop leg and twist it right above his head.
Oh, all right,
you tear me.
I would
kick this pig. In this episode of the Red Eye Report, we talk about ye olde drugs. We've been doing drugs for a long time. With me this week, we have Ashtray. He's been doing drugs since what seems like the beginning of time, or enough to supply armies of Neanderthals fucking in the mud like pigs.
We also have, they didn't even have pigs.
Yeah, right. We also have Timeless
Teddy.
They were
boars back then.
He has been doing a lot of drugs for a long time. Come to think of it, Mystic has been doing a shit ton of drugs for a long time. Are my friends a bunch of drug addicts?
What? No. Addict is a wrong word to use.
Not for Ashtray.
Oh, yeah, not for Ashtray. Not for Ashtray. Not for Ashtray.
Well, while I ponder the answer to that question, buckle up for the 420th episode of The Red Eye Report.
Whoop, whoop. We're getting long in the tooth. Boom.
Teddy.
Yes.
When's the last day you were sober?
From weed?
Yeah, exactly. From what?
Shit. I smoke every day. I mean, but okay.
Move on.
Yeah, don't ask a pothead to think about
realizing how easily
long...
you can define what's sober.
I'm addicted to something. I told my daughter that this morning when she went shopping again for like the fifth day in a row.
Yeah,
she like tried to justify it. I'm like, we're all addicted to something. It's okay.
Yeah.
Food, I think, is the the most primal addiction.
For Mystic is dick. He just jealous hours of drugs. It's fine. Just move on.
It's fine.
All right. Before we get going here, let's do our weekly benefit event. Pause for the cause for the Dane County Humane Society. We have Swinosaurus Rex, a 450-pound micro pig. He's trying to hang on to that micro pig tag. Don't let him talk you down, Swinosaurus. I mean, size is just...
Right. You be you.
Yep. You're a micro pig.
Size in the eye of the beholder. The ocean. Behold yourself. Okay?
Yep.
Just don't get on stage again.
So we're talking about ye olde drugs. And, you know, I was just kind of thinking about this. We kind of... Or at least in popular culture, we talk about drugs. And it's almost like, at least in this country anyway, and this is how I perceive it.
Yeah, because we're only in this country.
Right. But it's like these drugs just kind of like popped out of nowhere in the 20th century. Or at least that's the way that it's presented to us. Like, oh, yeah. That's when,
right, like it became a problem.
Right, like it things were cool, but then the 20th century, we had to make laws about everything and start throwing people in prison for this stuff. And it's not like we had thousands of years of history prior to that. So just kind of thinking about that and digging into it a little bit. So kind of an overview here. Of some of these origins of drugs. So this article from Discover Magazine kind of makes a good point that about 90% give drug-altered states of consciousness a role in their fundamental belief systems, like religions, belief systems.
Wait, when you say 90% of people in general.
So human societies, actually.
Okay, that's so a broad
when,
term.
Yeah, yes. So when they're looking at kind of like these cultures throughout history or whatever, there are many, many of these have drugs as part of kind of their ancient rituals, part of kind of their makeup and whatnot.
I mean, yeah, you smoke crack and say you don't like it. Shit. Fun.
Yeah, right?
I mean, come on. Somebody has had to have started a church based on smoking crack. I would.
Oh, I'm sure.
I would pay to see that.
They started a church and they were selling crack in the pulpit.
Right. So, some kind of classic examples of old ones. We have peyote, which they can date back, at least as far as they know, 5,700 years. Wow. And that has...
But peyote is a plant, right?
Right.
Like cactus or something?
Okay. Yep. Yeah, and I mean, it's not like they're cooking meth back in the day. A lot of this stuff
was natural
plants,
yeah.
And all this shit. So...
And they use it in like ceremonies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Ceremonies, Native American ceremonies.
I don't know.
In the Southwest. Other drugs have had a longer history. So in the, I guess, I don't know if it was in the Southwest, South America, in Peru. They've got this thing from 9,000 years ago. It's the San Pedro cactus. Date to 6,800 to 6,200 BC. So pretty fucking old, and it has these strong psychoactive properties. We have opium, which I didn't realize this. I know opium's been around for, you know, a long ass time. But it had reached most of Europe by the 6th millennium BC.
BC, huh?
Yeah. So that's 8,000 years ago, right?
Oh, shit.
And that it came, or...
So yeah, that's before Jesus was like, hey, you need to stop doing that fucking heroin.
Right?
Jesus actually was probably like the original Scruff McGruff. Stop that goddamn heroin.
He was telling them to stop doing drugs, so they crucified him. They're like, fuck you,
right? Because the Romans were the ones who were actually fucking exporting it from Afghanistan because they fucking ruled that area.
Right.
I better let go of my eight ball, bro. I'm gonna pay for this.
A straight edge fucker.
But I didn't realize this, that it was so prolific back then, that actually there's in like ancient Greece, like Greek sculptures and tombs and shit like that, they have images of poppies and opium and all this shit. So they were definitely doing that shit back then.
Well, think about it too. Also, like that entire time was like all the industry was built upon slaves. How do you think they kept those slaves working? They probably here's your free heroin.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, keep them addicted. That's I mean,
here's
they do
your
that
opium,
now.
Your morphine. You know, like whatever they called it back then, obviously they were like what they got from the poppy.
Right.
Milking the poppies.
Right. Coca. So what's cocaine. Used to make cocaine?
Coca.
8,000 years.
The man's drug. But back then they were probably just chewing the plastic.
They were chewing it. They weren't making it into cocaine.
They weren't refining it to a powder and then fucking roll it up bamboo.
Yeah.
Not that I've ever done cocaine.
Right. But if you did, it was only with bamboo rolled up. I like that little
dirty
roll up the bamboo.
Neolithic Chinese farmers were growing hemp by the 5th millennium BC. 7,000 years ago.
7,000 years ago. Well, God, shit, 7,000 years ago is right around what we consider the civilization history that we know, because we have actual written record of it.
Yeah, and this is, you know, and that's the thing, too. That's just what we know about.
What we know about, yeah.
Fuck. I mean, could have been going on for a long time prior to that.
We could have all been meth heads back in the day.
Right. And then, of course, there's the kind of classic magic mushrooms. Those have been used for a long-ass fucking time. And we've got this image here of, like, all these sculptures, which I thought was kind of funny. This is... I believe these were in South America. Guatemala. They have these mushroom sculptures. They thought these were dicks. They thought these were phallic sculptures before, and now they realize that they're mushrooms.
Like anthropologists who originally went down there.
Where all these guys eat dicks? What's going on?
Right?
There's quite obviously mushrooms.
Stuffy anthropologists have never had like drugs themselves. And this is like in the 1950s, 40s, whatever.
Yeah, so there was like a mushroom cult back then. So
there's a theory that I can't remember who said it, but like Christianity was built on like psychedelics and mushrooms and shit.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, because kind of the classic classic mushroom is red and white, right? The classic psychedelic mushroom.
Yep.
And like reindeer are obsessed with them or something. Like they're fucking, I don't know. Yeah.
There's, wait, reindeer's obsessed with magic mushrooms?
Yeah, with these like red and white mushrooms, and they think that maybe that like Christianity and even like Christmas and all that shit, like maybe that
is came from folks tripping balls,
right? So. This article actually brought up a really interesting point about some of this old stuff. And there's this drunken monkey hypothesis, which I had never heard of this before. And what they've observed is that some kind of fucking monkey, I can't remember. Spider monkey. So spider monkeys... they were observing this thing, like, going ape shit about grabbing these, you know, certain fruit, and it was acting all crazy and shit, and it was dropping the fruit on the forest floor, and they analyzed it or whatever. They realized that this fruit was, you know, fermenting. Mm. And you guys...
and they were getting drunk, yeah.
That's the drunk fruit.
Right, that's the drunk fruit. Well, it turns out that, you know... this is kind of like the peak ripeness of that fruit. It's like the peak energy that you can get from that fruit. So there's a theory that we are, there's an evolution, a biological kind of trigger for us to seek that fermented fruit. Right?
Well,
AKA
in a primal sense too, it's like, you know, it's
alcohol.
Like you're gonna get the most out of it. And also because alcohol is like only second to fats as far as like how many calories are concentrated like in, you know, per ounce or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I thought was very interesting. So they think that maybe our ancestors actually, that's kind of where it came from because alcohol is very old. And they think, I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody has brought forth the hypothesis that grains, like rye and these other grains or whatever, millet and other things, they were actually used to brew alcohol before they were used to brew bread.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
It was about the alcohol before the bread, which I don't
probably
know.
Probably. I mean, because it would be easier.
It would be way easier, right?
You don't need to have a full oven.
Yeah.
Like you just need to kind of put it all in an area and let it just sit and rot and ferment.
Yeah. And there's health benefits to that, you know.
And they were probably taking bamboo straws and then sucking off the top.
Right. They're sucking that. They're doing lines of fucking
here, bro. I came up with it. Black folk ain't had nothing.
Oh, he
already tried to take my bamboo straw idea.
God damn, Neanderthal took my bamboo straws for their.
Isn't that a term for liquor? Brown liquor, rye?
Yes.
No, I mean, rye is an actual, like what goes into making rye.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, rye would be a grain.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, do they use rye in that?
Well, like, I think you said a couple.
You could. Yeah, you can use any of these grains. You could.
Well,
you could
you're saying like your initial point though was that they think it that ancient man used it first to make alcohol before they even figured out you can make fucking bread with
this.
We get that. Yeah, we get that.
Which, I mean, makes sense to me. Because otherwise, you have to use fry.
Right? And someone's, you know what it is? The housewives are like, God damn, you fucking drunk, man.
Yeah,
like, what I'm going to do with something this shit? Else. You know what?
I need to ruin your day. I need to rain on your parade here.
Yeah, right?
I'm going to take all your boozy fucking rye, and I'm going to make some fucking bread.
Yeah. Shit, I mean, where's the history of that? Like, who first invented bread? Now that's some fucking figuring out shit.
Some other ancient drugs.
They invented bread by they discovered bread by somebody leaving a paste out on a rock out in the sun.
Because it was some drunk caveman husband who like didn't
and it baked the bread in the sun, and that's how they first discovered they could make bread out of the grains and stuff.
So there was this one on here that I saw that was interesting. Hold on. Marijuana. There's one that the ancient Egyptians liked. Blue lotus. Have you guys heard of blue lotus?
No. Sounds exotic.
Sounds like a French exotic film.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't know. I can't find it on here.
But lesbian
fucking
overtones.
Blue lotus. That was a big one for the Egyptians. Blue lotus. And apparently,
what did it do?
Well, I guess for many people it had like calming effects, but some people it had kind of it has one of the you know, it's excitatory, but I don't know if that means it gives you a boner or it gives you energy. I'm not really
only
sure.
If you're a man.
Right?
Excitability.
But I had never heard of blue lotus before. This is like a really fucking popular thing in ancient Egypt. You can buy that shit on Amazon.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's like, wait, is it an herb?
Yeah, it's you make it like a tea, or you can get you know, pills or whatever. So I don't know. Might be worth doing
send
a
me
blue
the link.
Lotus.
He's got a case Astrid. Coming to his house already.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. I'll put it on Amazon Prime.
Oh, another one on here, nutmeg. So have you guys heard about getting high off of nutmeg?
I've heard about it. I thought it was
someone made a mention, and I kind of thought it was dumb, or I just like didn't think like nah, you know, like never thought it was like I thought they were actually stupid. Whoever it was high. Whoever said it, like yeah, nutmeg can really get you off.
Yeah, so nutmeg was actually something that was used in the past to get high. So really? there's this account of this guy. I've got a link in the show notes of this guy that got high on nutmeg. And he kind of fucking hilarious because he took 70 grams
of
nutmeg.
Jesus Christ. That's,
yeah.
Now, like, you just, now with nutmeg, yeah, what do? You sniff it, you just digest it.
So,
I hope 70 grams, you just ate it.
Yeah, so the night before, I had taken quite a bit of ecstasy at a club, and the come down was quite bad. I went to the local supermarket and bought 200 grams of fresh ground nutmeg. When I got home, I told one of my uni housemates that what I had in mind, and he just laughed at me. First of all, I got a tablespoon and crammed on as much as possible. I tried to swallow the nutmeg by taking it with an orange drink. I managed it, but the taste was so bad, putrid, revolting. From this point on, we wrapped the nutmeg in large blue Rizla wrap papers and washed them down with water. Mm. I did about 16 of these, and my mate did 12.
Damn.
So yeah, he did this, and he goes on to, so 6 hours after taking this much nutmeg, I was now about 6 hours taking the nutmeg, and I am now thoroughly fucked. I lie on my bed and try to do something, but I feel so, 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 so tired with little capacity to do anything. I texted my mate who had also taken the nutmeg and told him how fucked I was. He replied that he felt exactly the same. He went to his girlfriend's house and said later he had to babysit him all night. And apparently he felt like complete dog shit the next day. So probably don't do nutmeg. 70
well,
grams.
Well, it just sounds
nutmeg.
Almost like you just took like a real only, like heavy, like almost an opiate or downer. Like
right.
But I mean, is it? But he also did a lot of ecstasy the night before. I mean,
that's
is that because that had been a like,
yeah.
reaction to it?
Yeah, that's around too. Yeah, you do an ecstasy the night before, you've run out of all of your baseline
serotonin
fucking.
Shit, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's
you're
that's
already feeling
true.
Like dog shit, you dumb fuck. How we at?
Yeah. It just eats 70 grams
of nutmeg.
Is not
I felt
gonna...
even worse. Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, just imagine what his fucking kidneys.
Was he really high, or was he actually just still hung over from the night before?
Fucking going through kidney failure.
His body's like,
70
I'm trying to do
grams
this next
of nutmeg.
And you throw this bullshit at me. What is wrong with you?
This is not.
Who, and also, who wants
this
to eat after
that?
Make your body
study.
Do that shit. I mean, is there any
nothing
science behind this? This is probably like two retards who
eat
a bunch
retarded.
Of a condiment and eat a bunch of a spice and fucking. What does that mug do? I mean, why did he get the idea to do nutmeg? Where did the idea come from? He's just like, you know what? I'm going to do nutmeg. That's how fucked up he was on next. I'm going to do a bunch of nutmeg. I'm like, what? Who does that?
Nutmeg's one of those things. It's like, why? I still have this in the fucking cupboard?
Right. Yeah, you used it to. This? Make like one recipe one time.
Yeah, exactly. One holiday recipe or some shit.
So switching over to American history, more recent American history. So I had heard this before, but apparently early settlers and colonists in America were just absolute savage drunks. And it was just like off the rails.
I can see
what
they're
in a new
country. They think it's theirs. They see some brown people. They're taking their shit. They're like having fun drinking. Yeah,
right. So in colonial New England, rum manufacturing was a major industry and rum drinking was common. During the early 1770s, New England had more than 140 distilleries. The rum consumption in the colonies averaged 7.5 million gallons annually.
Jesus.
The massive drinking has led one author to call rum the real spirit of 1776. I actually heard that like the Boston Tea Party and shit, you know, it's like all righteous, like, oh, we're not taking the taxes. They were fucking wasted. Like they were just completely wasted when that happened.
Oh shit. Did we start a war? Fuck.
Yeah. Also opium was like a huge fucking deal. So during the decades before and after the Civil War, the use of opium was extremely common. Before making people feel good, people feel good, opium is an effective painkiller and cough suppressant. So it was just a staple of many past medicines,
elixirs, past.
Tonics, sold in general stores, apothecaries, other venues. People from all social backgrounds use opium-laced medicines for problems such as depression, headaches, menstrual cramps, and toothaches. It's not much of an exaggeration to say that the United States was a nation of opium users during this period. An estimated 500,000 Americans were addicted to opium by the end of the century. I don't know how many Americans there were.
500,000, you said?
500,000.
There's only 501,000. So
probably weren't that many more people in this country at
so
that
it's
time.
Everyone
and
looked
also,
like
also, one of those things where it's like, everyone just assumed it was this was medicine.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a pushback of like, this shit's a drug.
Yeah. So it was really fucking rampant. Chinese immigrants who were building the railroads, they had opium dens as well.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's always the
British,
immigrants,
right?
Though.
The opium wars.
Yeah. Always the fucking immigrants. They're like, oh my God.
Well,
Chinese.
They didn't learn how to make rum from the slaves in the Caribbean.
Right.
So, I mean, that's
right.
I mean, it's
yeah. But that's, somebody will use that to ban shit, because that's when they started banning opium. So in San Francisco, 1875, became the first locality to ban opium dens. And then after that, 3 decades later, the federal government banned the manufacture, sale, and use of opium. And then the same with weed, too, with Mexican immigrants. After the Mexican-American War, they came over and they're like, fucking wetbacks with their fucking weed, fucking our women. We're banning that shit.
Not Mary Jane.
Yeah. And then cocaine. So cocaine was very popular in the 19th century, beginning in the 1880s, thanks in part to enthusiastic claims by Sigmund Freud and American physicians that cocaine could help relieve asthma, depression, hay fever, sexual impotence, toothache pain.
Sexual impotence?
And all sexual some other impotence, problems.
Really? I'll tell you otherwise.
If you still have a limp dick, just do more. You'll be fine.
Yeah, right? It's like keep on believing love. Just love hard and it'll work.
So the U.S. Army Surgeon General advocated its medical use.
Yeah, bitch. Whoa, it's great,
ooh,
man.
Surgeon General? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, granted, if I... Army Surgeon General? Yeah, if I'm sending troops out to war, yes, take cocaine. Get yourself jacked up before you go over that trench into the meat grinder.
During the next 2 decades, concern grew about cocaine's effects. Some of this concern was fueled by the absurd belief that African Americans who used cocaine became extra strong, dangerous, and even invulnerable to bullets. Cocaine was heavily taxed.
Teddy's still alive.
Right.
Holy shit.
Cocaine was heavily taxed by the 1914 Harrison Narcotics Act, which also was for opium as well.
I could hear the fucking wire now. Oh my God, you're all on cocaine. We got super Negroes all around. Oh my God. Oh my God.
So yeah, drugs are not a new thing, and you know, kind of the beginning of the 20th century is where kind of the beginnings of at least how it's policed in this country and thought of in this country, where it came from, you know. 1914 with this Harrison Act, and then of course there was the war on drugs later on, but
just say no.
Yeah, it's people were a lot cooler about drugs in the past, but not anymore.
Well, this thing too is like, is it makes you wonder, is it just because they were a lot cooler about drugs because it was easier for the governments at the time to like use that as a way to like fucking keep their slaves, especially way back in the time, you know?
Yeah.
Kept their slaves from revolting by just giving them opium. And also they didn't have public service announcements or moms against drunk drivers, you know, shit like that.
Right. Right.
The pushback that actually made us now so stigmatized against drugs.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it was like Richard Nixon's war on drugs and Ronald Reagan, where we're now all like concerned about it.
Right. Yeah. And to the concerned about it to the degree where I think that's the point where you get thrown in prison for long periods of time when you are associated with drugs.
Well, yeah, yeah. And the like the social like stigma.
Right.
That came with it, where back in the day, I mean, what, you just read about it in tabloids?
Yep.
You know, pre-TV.
Those darkies, they're bringing their drugs. They're invulnerable to fucking bullets.
And we're coming for you, white women. You better hide the pasty asses.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. Go do drugs.
Way ahead of you. Actually, I just do drug now.
Well, that's
I got
the
a
thing.
Family,
like,
bro.
Mystic said, we are all addicted to something. We're all doing drugs of some sort.
Is Mystic still here?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
He's kind of quiet.
Absolutely. I know, right? He hasn't been bitching about me. I've been like trying to push his boundaries.
I just muted because
he was eating.
Like, no one's gonna fucking hear what I'm saying anyway.
I'm sorry.
Moving on to the next point, which is
calm down.
What's sexy? Oh man, there's that sexual energy right there.
What's sexy?
Mommy and daddy, please stop fighting.
Yeah, right.
The bucks on the M, Mystic. What's that?
So, our station, like, basically paid for 10 games, Bucks games, to be aired on fucking one of our stations, right? And that's the station that has my 9 o'clock show that I do. So, like, the past two Fridays ago, and then Monday, and then last Monday and this Friday, I don't have, like, a job to do other than the fucking early show, so I just leave. And not one person has said a fucking word about it. I still claim that I worked 8 hours.
Yeah.
That's great.
I just leave.
Nice.
It's fantastic, dude.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, you don't have a punch card thing anymore? Like, do you have just a time thing you just, like, plug in when you leave for what you've worked?
Yeah.
Right on.
What's your salary? You're a slave.
Yeah.
I'm not salary.
That's great.
Yeah. Whatever. Literally nobody has communicated with me what I'm supposed to do for 4 fucking hours. I'm not going to sit there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sorry, but if you fucking...
Well, and it's like, do they just...
Then you can pay me for 4 fucking hours.
You're sticking in the bathroom? He must be.
Yeah, nobody even notices. That's the funniest part.
How do they... you're a big guy. How do they miss you? I mean,
How do they notice that I'm not there? But nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah.
My specific boss isn't there.
They're doing the same thing.
He's let me do this stuff before. Like, we did it last year with the March Madness stuff, because it's the same deal. When they get aired on our station, I don't have a show. So I'm assuming he doesn't give a shit if I just leave.
Yeah.
Because they would be paying me anyway to just sit there and do nothing.
Right.
So, yeah. Whatever. But it's kind of nice.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things, too, where it's better to just ask for forgiveness. It's like, you absolutely do it, and if you get caught, it's just like, oh, sorry, I thought it, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
Pinch a little more out of the belly fat of the company you're working for, if you can.
But if you ask for permission, they'd probably say, oh, no.
Oh, no.
And they say it just like that too.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because that's how business white men talk.
Or you could always do the family emergency.
White men.
Family emergency. Sorry, I didn't tell anyone. It was a family emergency.
Okay. Next up, we have me with YouTube Music. So I have been paying for YouTube Premium for, I don't know, like 3-4 months, because I just
got sick of the ads,
you know. Yeah. It's like, man, I like the content on YouTube. There's a lot of shit on here. I like how it works, you know. I can easily cast it to stuff. I can have it on my phone, blah blah blah. So let's do Premium. Let's check it out, which I think is like $10 a month or something like that.
Like $10. I had it for a little bit ago.
Yeah. And you know, it's been good. And then it popped up a thing on my phone, because I'll watch music videos sometimes in the morning. And it's like, hey, dipshit, how about you try out fucking YouTube Music? Like, oh, I don't know. Okay.
Is that extra fee, or is just because you're now a premium, like, you can use the music?
Yeah, you can use the music.
I would assume as much.
Yeah,
the premium. Does that not include the
premium?
The music?
So it's got the music in there. At least it better have the music in there.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I think it does. But anyway, I've been using it, and it's so basically, it's kind of like your standard whatever playlist. Do a search for music, blah blah blah, which you can do on Spotify, right? But the cool thing about this that I really like is, A, it seems to be pulling from a wider range, and maybe the algorithm isn't like as like focused because I haven't been using it for a long time. So I'm getting a lot of new music that I had not heard before. But the really cool thing that I like about it is it's got a button when you're listening to it where you can seamlessly switch to the music video or the audio while it's on your phone. So like if I'm listening to it, blah, 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 and maybe I don't want to use as much data or whatever, I have it on the music. But I'm like, oh, shit, cool. This has video, and it's just got a little button, and it switches. There's like a little pause as it switches, but it goes to that exact spot on the music video, and it just continues on.
Oh yeah, it's Cardi B's WAP. Like, I want to see that video.
It's actually pretty fucking sweet because I can just like, hey, this is fucking badass. Watch a badass music video, and you know, oh, I got to walk somewhere. Throw it to the fucking just the music, and it's just like I'm listening to Spotify or something. It's pretty cool. So
what I like.
So
about
YouTube Premium is not YouTube TV.
No, those are definitely different things.
Two separate things.
Okay. Yeah.
So I got YouTube Premium for a while back when I was riding my crotch rocket a lot, because Spotify and shit, it was like Pandora was a big thing back then. I didn't like the randomness of it.
Yeah.
But the thing about the YouTube is when you can get a lot of music that you can get on Spotify or other things like the Gray Album from Danger Mouse. Where he took the Black Album from Jay-Z and mixed it over the Beatles, the White Album. There are also a lot of mixtapes. I learned about a lot of rap guys through mixtapes and shit, like Sci High to Prince. And he had some albums that were released as mixtapes that you couldn't get on Spotify or anything else because they technically weren't released. So I get that whole album
right, because it was like probably not so like, it's not official quality or whatever, but
right. Yeah.
Yeah, I had like a Lil Wayne phase, and he released like 12 mixtapes and shit, and a lot of them are pretty good. So I can listen to those while riding my motorcycle and having YouTube play on my phone without the ads and shit. And that's why I can make a playlist and shit, just play that playlist.
Yeah.
It's fucking just like I was on Spotify or something.
It's pretty nice. It definitely has access to more sources, but also I haven't run into like I hate it when I'm listening to like a playlist and then suddenly some shit ass live fucking recording is in there and it just sounds like dog shit. And maybe it's like a song I've already heard in my playlist. I haven't had any of that. Like it seems like they filter out like kind of the,
is that where you came up with this from with that Scatman shit that you said this?
No, that was just a random.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's my Scatman fucking playlist.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, I listen to Scatman all the time on my YouTube.
I was like YouTube music. You know, it's all coming together. He's listening to new shit. I'm like, okay.
So yeah, check it out. Next up, we have Ashtray. Mystics Hate for Me.
Yes, I just wanted to say like, oh. I realized, and I had to recognize too. I'm like, oh yeah, I wasn't hearing Mystic Craig. I kind of feel like when I start going on my tangents, like I'm waiting for Mystic to just fucking bite back and put me in my place. And like when I don't hear him, then it's kind of like, is Mystic, did his headset die? Like I'm waiting for him fucking put me in my place. So I love you, Mystic, and your hate for me.
Why are you waiting? trying to leave you alone, man.
He's got to put the bear, dude. It's like it's your restraint, actually, and you're probably getting better at that. But then I'm like, oh, I kind of miss Mystic. Keep me in my place. So I realize how much I love your hate for me.
Headbutted you at one point.
Oh yes, that's how our friendship works. Is that like the things? He's like, much you love someone, you fucking hate them.
Yeah. Oh.
God.
Yeah, I love my wife, but I'll strangle the shit out of him.
Yeah, right. Just get the tax returns.
I'm kidding. I don't touch my wife. That's crazy.
All right. Next up, we have Teddy with Helldivers 2.
Helldivers 2 was hanging out with my wife the other day.
Pretty good.
This is the objective.
I decided to check it out on the PlayStation Store, and the game's only $40.
Which only $40.
Yeah, the base is only $40. You want to get the Ultimate Edition, it's like $60. The game is pretty much Starship Troopers. It uses that kind of campy humor. in the recruitment video and stuff. It is a fun game. From all the videos I've been seeing, I've been watching it. The basis is you've got two factions you're fighting, and they control one part of the galaxy on either side of your planet, Super Earth. In each quadrant they have, they control, there's like four planets, and you can fight for control of those planets. And as you liberate a planet, you liberate a sector. And if you liberate the whole sector, then you gain that sector. So it's kind of like a back and forth between the two, but you're fighting a war on both fronts. You do get to choose where you go. I mean, you can start at the mother planet if you want to and do objectives there and try to liberate it with your friends. I would advise it. but it gives you that fucking, you ever seen Starship Troopers?
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember that one scene where the guy, they were taking out the bugs, and the one guy got totally confident. And he started walking forward, like talking shit, and he gets fucked up. I mean, like I had that moment in the game. I'm like, this ain't tough. And then I turn around and I got like 85 things coming at me. I'm like, holy shit. And I finally was playing by myself. I finally did the extraction. I finally did the objective and was going to extraction. And I hit the extraction button. It says, you got 2 minutes. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I got to wait 2 minutes to extract. And it was fun.
Unbelievable.
It was fun. It was challenging. And it was just very campy and funny. But yeah, if you have PC or PS5, try it out. I need people to play with, and you'll find out why and what fuck you think.
Yeah, this is kind of blowing the fuck up right now.
It is. It's a fucking awesome game. I mean, yeah. It's
for and I'm surprised quite it's only a bit.
Is it kind of a new game, like from a random developer, or is it?
No, this is the part. This is the part two of the game. The first game was like a real time strategy game.
It was PS3 era or something.
Yeah, around that area.
So it was kind of a new version of the same storyline.
Right, but yeah, but instead of it being top down, they made it a third person shooter. It was squads of three, and it's to call in perks or things like that, kind of like Call of Duty esque. They have an interesting way of doing that. And it's just a real cool game. And for $40, I mean, it's fucking it's crazy how. You know,
I'm just laughing at how it used to be. Remember, like $20, like, you know, this is a pretty solid game.
Only $20.
You know, it's like only $40. It's like
inflation, man. It happens,
right?
I blame.
But yeah, check it out and look up my gamer tag is Teddy Bear Terror on any game console you have. So you know, look me up.
Somebody play with me, please.
Look me up.
Okay, next up we have Fuck What You Think. Where we glue glass to a jump rope and beat a horse with it.
Jesus, what is it with you and animal abuse?
Wow.
I know.
Fucking God, shit.
That's surprisingly specific.
It's the dark, dark partnership between us and the Dane County Humane Society.
I thought we were helping these animals. We're not beating them with glass whips.
Yeah, hey, no, animals need fucking discipline too, dude.
I get but not with Jesus.
Are you saying all these animals that we've sponsored have been abused by you?
They didn't go to a farm. And they need sexual loving. Okay?
Yeah, he is our producer, ladies and gentlemen. He is the one who gives us all the names every week. We really have no other contact, and we will disassociate from him if evidence proves
disclaimer.
I will not be canceled by this fake news.
Right? The whole writer report just cancels you. And then yet we have no show because you're our producer.
I'm not going to cancel you. I don't give a fuck. I know there's no farm.
Next up. Fuck what you think. First up, we have Ashtray. Are you a subversive or a Nero?
These fucking woke terms and words is getting on my goddamn nerves.
Of course, yeah.
I mean,
these are the terms that are appropriate now, Teddy, in our
No. Appropriate to you and people who give a fuck about your little fucking fantasy.
Oh, shut up. I'm just talking about...
Don't come at me, bullshit.
This is the context of the scenario and the environment I was in. These are the terms you'd actually use in the environment I was in.
No, the terms
you wouldn't
you
be
would
in that
use.
Environment. Teddy, you're not going to go to ecstatic dance class.
No, I'm not a fag.
Exactly. So, my point being is that ecstatic dance class, which I call like my hippie dance class,
I was born in 1980. I can say that shit. Okay, I was
like you can. Yeah, no, you're black. You can get away with it.
No, I'm not. No. I'm grandfathered in. It's not because I'm black.
I'm grandfathered in. I'm in my hippie dance class, and right, it's kind of one of those two where it's like this is a space where, like, nobody. You just like dance. Like the rule. The only rule really is like you don't talk in class. Like if you need to talk, you can go out into the lobby outside of the main like gymnasium room we're in. And so this chick in tonight's class, I noticed like right away, and she like not quite in the middle of the dance space, but enough to where she's within the inner like third of the dance space. She's sitting there, she's just like spreads her legs out and she pulls out like a bunch of knickknacks. Like she's sorting out her knickknacks. At first I thought, I was like, is she putting together a puzzle? Cause like, whatever. I'm just like trying to get
this. This is in a dance class.
Just sitting down on the floor doing this.
Just sitting down on the floor. Like I'm gonna sort my shit out right here. Actually, what I first thought was like, is she
what I thought it was gonna be. To be honest with you,
I was like, is she putting together a puzzle? That's first what I thought, or something. Because like there was a bunch of things kind of laid out, and it's like okay, it's like no, it's not a puzzle. It's almost looked like she took like the context of her like her purse and like laid them out in a pattern. And she's got her legs out, like, splayed, like, doing the splits almost. And she's just kind of like,
What the fuck?
Yeah, Tori's just like, girl, this is ecstatic dance class. You ain't dancing.
I would start stepping on all the shit.
Oh, yeah. Part of me was kind of like, did I just, like, kind of go over and be like, what you doing? Blah, blah,
blah. Was she and high?
Whatever. But also, this is the...
She was definitely on something.
She should have started twerking in her face.
The thing is, I then recognized her because, I don't know, like, this might be 4 weeks ago. When I was at the class, she's the same girl who had a whole bunch of, like, she had 8 to 10 scarves, different scarves around, and she was like giving out to people. And I'm like, all right, hey, sure, whatever.
Hand it to me. Put my Xbox on.
And anyway, she's just like, you keep that scarf, okay? Sure, whatever. This is the same girl. All of a sudden, she's now in the middle of the dance floor, and she's just like, I'm gonna sort my shit on the dance floor. And I'm like, who is this? Like, and finally, like. But this also too, I think it's kind of like, that's why I'm like, are you neurodivergent? Like, you're so not aware. Like, this is such a safe space. I can just do whatever the fuck I want. It's like, but it's still ecstatic dance class. Like, get the fuck out the way. Finally, but it seemed like it was like almost 3/4 of the way in. Someone was like, can you do that outside? Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, it's just like, part of it was just like, Jesus Christ, it took that long?
Right.
It took that long for someone to be like, okay, like, we're all accepting here and, like, safe space to express yourself however you want. And usually, a lot of that time will be people who are like, I'm just going to kind of, I need to, like, zone out and meditate. But those people also, they do it on the sidelines, right? Like, you're not like, I'm just going to get in the way of everything and be just fucking, instead of not even meditating, that's when I'm like, are you being subversive? Or are you that out of touch?
Right. Bring your laptop in, start doing your taxes.
And then maybe my fuck what you think, too, is also, like, it took that long. Exactly. That would have been funnier. She was doing, like, TurboTax. Right. TurboTax, right in the middle of ecstatic dance.
I gotta get him done!
TurboTax at the ecstatic dance.
I gotta get him done!
That's like an SNL skit. If this is a safe space and it's really, really stressful to do my taxes. So, leave me alone. You know, like, what the fuck? But yeah. At the same time, I was like, I get, like, what can I say? Like, this is kind of where, like, every weirdo can be their own weirdo.
Right.
But, like, are you going to really just sort your shit in the middle of the dance floor? Where do we draw that line of, like, here are the rules of a place where we kind of accept that you can do whatever you want?
We're not going to draw a line because you woke some bitches keep coming up with stupid words.
Exactly.
to get rid of the rules.
This is why I was saying, Teddy, like, you would never understand because you'd never be in that
understand.
Place.
I get what you're saying, though, because it's in the name, right? Like, it's expressive, but it's also a dance class.
Right.
Yes, it's a dance class. Like, you are
literally in the name. So,
and those people who also are like, you know what, I don't feel like dancing right now, or I need to kind of get in the mindset.
Or, yeah,
they're going to meditate, go on the outside.
Sure.
Yeah.
Somebody should have said that right away. I would have been
you know, it literally went more than half of the dance class where I was kind of like, are you literally just going to ignore this person who's still doing this shit?
Yeah, because you don't want to violate her safe space, man. She's
expressive.
And she's expressing herself through sitting your fat ass on the floor.
She's dancing by sorting out her purse.
Dancing around her objects, okay?
Oh, man. That's some fucking malarkey right there.
She's going to bring her cats.
I know. It's funny. Like, I almost kind of admire it. Like, I hope she was just being subversive because, like, that's really undermined a safe space.
It's often shit.
It is not. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. It was like an Andy Kaufman thing where it's just like, you are actually not being threatening at all. And also, it's like, I think we're so patient and accepting here that we actually let you get away with this for more than half of the class. And not that I'm like some steward who runs it.
Yeah, I got you.
But I know I'm not the only person who's like, what the fuck's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Good old Madison.
Face.
Awesome. Cool.
All right. Moving on. We have Teddy with Sony players.
Oh, okay, so
for shame.
What's the name of the game? Helldivers 2. Awesome game, fun. It's better to play with three with a full squad of three people.
It's three people, not four.
It's up three people, not four. Yeah. You can join a random game, but here's the thing. You join a random game and people see that you're only, I'm a level like two or three now, and I did. I've been able to complete I think two or three games. And I've had the game for a week. I've tried a lot of. If you don't have any friends on that are playing, you can hop into a random a quick match, whatever, you know, hop into a random squad.
With losers.
And you hop into the squad. And, oh my god, he's level one. He's level one. Kick him. And I'm like, and they kick you out. I'm like, bro, I'm trying to learn how to play the game.
Right.
If you all are higher level than me, I'm gonna get. Right. You're fucking new. And yeah, here. I'm a fucking new.
So it
noob.
Doesn't. It doesn't match you with people that are closer to your fucking. Level?
It does, but I mean, like, up to, like, I've gone up to level, I think the highest person I was in there was, like, a level 10 or 11. But still, I'm a level 1, and they're like, whoa, no, kick him, man, we don't even have a squad. I'm like, I can still shoot, motherfucker. I mean, I've been playing third-person shooters for years. I can still shoot. You know, just let me know how the game goes and things.
Right.
But they won't give you, I've actually, like, talked to them.
This is how specialized your games have gotten.
And I'm like, and it's like, Sony players are so goddamn toxic.
Yeah, I mean, just tell them you're neurodivergent.
Yes, exactly. You're neurodivergent and that you just want to sort your purse out on the fucking game floor.
I cannot pretend to be gay enough to say that phrase. I just can't do it.
They would probably swat you if you said that.
You could be on any part of the spectrum, Teddy, to say you're neurodivergent.
God damn it. Just every time you say those words, I want to punch you in the goddamn mouth.
Yeah, I agree. That's my fuck what you think. I just decided that.
That's our love hate. Yeah, so
but the thing is, like, it is, and this happened when I started playing what's that game, Red Dead Redemption 2. Mm-hmm. I bought it on Xbox and on Sony to play with people on Sony. And on Xbox you can actually do things in town and shit. On Sony, I played the game for like 3 months, and you like every time I wanted to get new guns or do something, if I had to go into a town, it was a fucking an apocalypse. Like everybody's trying to shoot at you. I mean, you couldn't fish. You couldn't do anything in a goddamn game without somebody fucking with you.
Of course.
And it's I'm that's like, funny. Why can't I just? I'm like, I'm just going to town to buy some fucking.
Because there's no society when it's GTA out there.
But everything was fucking bam, 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 bam. I'm like, dude, just stop for a second. We're in town. Just stop for a second. I just want to go buy some shit, like feed my horse, go do something.
I'm gonna be honest.
It was always,
that was
always
mostly me.
Say what?
That was me.
No, this is on PlayStation. On Xbox, I didn't have that problem.
But I did that on Xbox a lot. Like, I just go riding into towns with like dynamite arrows and shit, just start firing.
Yeah, you be. That's the thing is too. It's like it's that GTA mentality. Like I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Fucking dick. Let me buy my new gun.
You're some dumb motherfucker. Let me experience the minutiae of the game developer's environment by fishing from the pier when someone's like, I'm going to take this guy's 40 quid. Throw him over.
Well, that's the thing. You got nothing from killing other players.
Yeah.
Except
exactly. You got nothing more than the joy of causing chaos.
Yeah, the satisfaction of fucking somebody's day.
You are the psychopathic sons of bitches.
This is why I love his hate for me. It's like there's no reason behind it other than that pureness of it.
And then people wonder, what Teddy, why are you playing a single player game? Because I don't want to fuck you ignorant crackers. Hey, I'm trying to do some
dude,
shit.
You're yeah. coming over. You're getting it, man. That's well, why I play single player games. I don't want to deal with any shit.
PlayStation players are all elitists. Let's be honest. PlayStation players are all elitists.
They're not elitists. They're retards. They're not elitists. Most of the games I have a few games that I bought on Xbox first, played for a while, then played on PlayStation. And the people that I play with on PlayStation are a lot dumber than the Xbox players, which was like Helldivers. The way they're losing, the way the Sony players are losing ground and shit in this game, if it ever came to Xbox, we would fuck that whole game up in like a week.
Oh, shit.
Because it's like these guys, I mean, they never played Halo Legendary. There's no real shooter that gives you a challenge on PlayStation. Unless you play Call of Duty, but that's against other people, not against an AI that's been controlled by somebody that can turn up the heat on you. So they never had that experience to go against. And we've had a few games that let us do that. And these guys haven't. They're just getting their asses kicked.
There you go.
If it ever comes, to Xbox, we will fuck that game up.
Boom.
Bam.
Yeah. All right. Lastly, we have me with Murder Mode. So I'm leaving work today and I get a call from my wife and she's like, hey, did you see the message that we got from daycare? Fucking Potato got bit in the face.
What?
Yeah. I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yes.
It's like, what the fuck is this shit?
My first question is what bit it?
Another child.
Kids do that. Just let them tell the story.
Yeah. I'm just like, what the fuck is this? And, you know, it was a pretty good bite on his goddamn cheek.
Oh.
So I'm, at first, pissed. You know, I'm pissed, leaving the, I'm kind of cool. But by the time I get to my car, I want to kill fucking people. Like, I'm fucking...
I am
ready to fucking murder people.
Yeah, the parents are going to die horrible deaths.
Right. Like, I am imagining what I'm going to do to these parents.
Yes.
And I'm just, like, just pissed off. I'm driving, like, 70 miles an hour because I'm so pissed off.
With your poor Potato who is just bit.
You know, and I get there. And he's always in a good mood. And there's, you know, there's one person left in the daycare. And right away, I talked to her. And she's just like, hey, he was rolling around. He didn't do anything wrong. Kid came up and bit him. You know?
It happens. Kids do shit like that. It
right. And I just, you know, as absurd as it sounds, when she said it, I'm just like, oh.
Was this the daycare person?
Yeah, this is the daycare person.
Okay.
When she said it, I was just kind of like, okay, this is something that happens. Like, this is...
Yeah.
At that age, they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, and I'm... But,
they're
man,
biting shit that's got more germs than another baby.
Yeah, I was fucking just ready to fucking kill people.
I'll smash these parents' faces right. Who raised their toddler to fight... Probably not even a toddler. Their infant to bite my infant.
No,
you know?
Whoever bit him has a much larger mouth and has some teeth. So I can narrow it down.
Oh, okay. Well, keep an eye on that. Get some, and I hope you got some impression marks made.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, like, keep eyes on
My wife's going to call tomorrow and get a little bit more of a lowdown on what happened.
Right.
But yeah, just that instinct though. Like at first, I'm just like, oh, okay, what? And then like 5 minutes later, it's just like, I will fucking destroy you.
Yeah.
Fucking touch my potato.
Also, too, though, these are those things where it's like, unfortunately, it's a dynamic of having to give your child care. You have to outsource your child care.
Yeah.
In modern times, we have to outsource our child care.
Yeah, my wife works from home.
I don't know how bad this situation was, and I'm really pissed off because I'm thinking the worst case scenario.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so.
That's not going to be the first time. I was at some place, and this one kid was being a little dick to everybody else. It was like Monkey Joe's or something. And he was throwing kids, pushing kids and everything else. I was like, hey, man, you want to get your kid? And the husband, the father's like, well, maybe you should teach your kid to be a little bit more tougher. And I'm like, and they were like 2 years old. I was like, and the first thing I wanted to do was like, I was like, I wanted to grab this little cracker by the throat, drag him outside, beat the living shit out of him.
Right.
Just to be like, hey, maybe you should be a little tougher. But I didn't do that. I didn't do it. I took some breaths. Yeah. And taught my son how to grab hold. I taught my son how to put 3 points on the fucking wall and yank off anybody else.
Yeah.
That's what I did. That's what I did. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I am.
It won't be the first. This is not the first chance I get.
Oh, yeah. This kid, well, he's already way bigger than the other kids his age. He's on the top of the scale for his size, for his age. And, I mean, I'm just going to send this kid. He's going to be fucking whatever, wrestling, jujitsu, whatever he needs to do. And I'm going to be like, hey, if anybody fucks with you, you fuck him up. All right. But yeah, I'm going to have to work on that. Because I don't want to go to jail either.
But
I don't want to go to jail, so I'm going to train my kid.
Right. All right, that's it. In all seriousness, go fuck yourself, ye old crackheads. That's our show. We're going to be here every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Central. Make sure you join the conversation at theredeyereport.com or facebook.com/redeyereport. Like us, share us, or fuck us, we're down for whatever. I'm Oracle.
This is Ashray.
I missed it.
Teddy, bitch. They call me T-Dog.
T-Dog. Nice. This is the Red Eye Report.
He's non-neurodivergent.
Stop saying that fucking word.